Welcome back.
So happy.
I hope you guys like our new intro. Because I don't even care if you like it or not. I love it. That is everything.
So awesome.
You couldn't have made something better for this show.
It's so damn fun, dude.
It's just
so fun.
Saber Kelly, how do I watch two shows at the same time? I think you can actually, like, if you have one of those bigger, I have a monitor attached to my laptop, so I can kind of put stuff everywhere. Or, not kind of, I do.
Or you can just watch our show and then go back and watch their show.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
You know.
Speaking of our show.
Talk to us.
Welcome to Get to the Programming. I'm Chase Ingram.
I'm Captain America.
And along with me is Bill Grundler.
Wolverine.
We're going to analyze the programming of the age group semifinals that just concluded yesterday. Yesterday. Yes. There's a lot going on right now. I heard Seuss is on. I have to watch that. I like his title. It's like red shirts, talking trash, and clout chasers.
I think he's
I know all three of those people.
That's definitely a little clickbait action right there. He's working it.
I like
squeezing it.
Yeah, I really like it. So I'll watch that later. Clout chasers. Clout chasers, I never understood. I mean, I guess I understand those people, but I just, like, I never understood the enjoyment out of that. Like,
well,
I don't know.
If we're talking about what did you say? A clout. What do you say?
Clout chasers.
So what do you think that means?
I'd say someone that just does something for fame or for recognition or for themselves to just be like the whatever.
Yeah, look at me.
Okay. Look at me. Okay. Yeah, look at me, people.
Look at me, guy.
Look at what I'm doing. Look how cool I am. Look what this is. Look what I did. Look who, you know, like that. I just never understood that.
Is that not like what complete Instagram is?
I guess, which is probably why I have this like really, like I struggle with Instagram. It's like a necessary evil.
Dude, I'm so bad.
Like, I like to watch what my friends are doing.
No, totally.
And it's needed to, like, for say for the podcast example, like for an example.
Yeah,
like,
that for work it's good. Like, I
that's what we need. And the other ones is like, all right, this is. But for me, it's like, here's who I am.
Yeah.
I sit at home with my kids. I coach their teams. I get on a podcast. I get to go to these like cool spots. Like, this is just what I do. Like, I can't remember the last like fancy photo I ever put up there because I says, like, I hey, make sure you take pictures of me while I do this thing so I could post about them later.
Right. Like, I do my workout ones because it's like, okay, it's just easy. That's a space.
New Jeopardy category. Clout chasers.
Right, totally. I've gotten into arguments with Laura, discussions more than anything.
Mm.
And I think it's like the age difference between us. She's like, how come you never put up really a lot of stuff with me? And I'm like,
Oh, I see. Yeah.
And I like in my mind, and this is just me, it's not because I don't think she's important or that I don't love her or care about her and she's everything to me, all that kind of stuff. But like my world is my world. I don't want anybody to even set foot in my world. I just kind of think that it's just kind of my thing.
You don't want to be here.
You know, it's my protected bubble. And I mean, she brought up a good point. She's like, hey, you know, everyone likes to know that like they're important. And so like these other things that you put out there are important. And I was like, okay, I get that.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to do better. Not as like appeasing her necessarily, but I want her to know that like, you know, outwardly I do care about it. But like,
I get it.
Yeah, dude, but it's hard for me, man. Mm. It's hard.
Yeah.
It is hard.
I get it. You know what is also hard is dealing with this freaking guy all the time.
That is why I did it. That's another five. Are you kidding me? That's right. Who do you think you are? I am.
John, did you see our new intro?
Yes, I did see it.
What do you think?
I think it's awesome.
Thanks, dude.
I really wish like there could have been some kind of like a hint of a comic strip or I'm in there at some point, but it's okay. It's okay.
I can get it remade. Well,
it's okay. I just want like one or two, you know, the 87.
Just a flash and just see if like.
Yeah. Yep.
I like that.
Yep. But, like you know, it's okay.
It'll evolve because, well, I mean, as I get it made is I could submit more and more photos and just get them filtered in there because, you know, they slide through.
You think, like, as Marvel, as all the movies got
right, made, yeah, we're just in like phase one. More, yeah, we're in phase one.
You had the locker room, just one of everybody.
Ooh,
right? And, yeah, like, you just see everybody. And obviously, you two would be the most of them. But like, that's if you good. Had just a hint of everybody in there where people could see it,
yeah,
pretty cool, right?
I like that.
I mean, if we did that, then it would be... Because right now, everyone... It's really funny. Everyone's like, everyone's in Sevan space. Like, bullshit.
This is y'all's podcast, though.
Yeah, it's our podcast. Yeah.
Everyone's in our space.
Yeah, Sevan is Stan Lee. You know what I mean?
Right. Oh, yeah, there you go.
And okay, that's all he has. That's his role.
I like that. The curator. The curator. What? There's a Marvel character. The collector is. He's in there. He's actually. I think he's in a. What are those things called?
Guardians of the Galaxy. I think.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, John. Welcome to the show. We're going to talk what everybody loves to talk about: age group. No.
All right.
Nobody wanted to like laugh or. We love to talk about it, but I know
well,
it's.
I'm the oldest guy here, so like.
Well, I didn't even get a reaction from you at all.
I was like, okay, here we go. Yeah, pull out the canes and
yes.
the walkers with the tennis wheel, tennis balls.
Yeah, it's a different kind of adaptive division.
I did one of the age group workouts today.
Which ones did you do?
The first one.
How was that?
I've done one and two.
Okay.
I'll probably do... I programmed four for the class.
I figured three is the one you really want to do.
Well, I usually wait and do the one I'm going to be the best at as the last one.
That's fair.
I don't know why I do that. I did that with the semifinals too. The snatch one was the last one I did.
How'd you do?
So, yeah. Well, hold on. Wait. Before you say what you did, which do you think were better? Which was more fun to do, the age group ones or the semi ones?
I like the semi ones better. But.
Because they were heavier?
They're just harder to do. Like the age group ones feels like a class workout, like a harder class workout, but they feel like class workouts, right? That personally, that's how I felt. Where the semifinals is like, nobody's doing that except the guy who's competing. You know what I mean? That's personally how I felt.
Yeah.
But maybe you guys feel different. Maybe I'm not going fast enough to make it that hard because whatever I do on event three, it will not be what Hiller did on event three.
The old 359. Right, I just watched that actually. I was like, oh, that's what it looks like to go unbroken.
Yeah. Maybe I can get sub five on that, but I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm not touching his time.
The last 12 in a row that he did is very impressive. But so that's what we hear. We came on last week when the events got announced. We went through them, our thoughts, some strategies. But now that we're a little under a week removed from it, we're going to analyze the programming from, I'm going to say two sides, and you guys let me know how this is going to go, because we look at what the purpose of the event is, and that dictates how we analyze the program, because it's not just one analyzing fits all when it comes to that. The other one is, okay, what is qualifying for? How many are qualifying for it? And I want to put a third one in there, is what we did in quarterfinals before we went to semifinals. I want to put that in the conversation as we analyze the programming, because when I was going through it, I was like, man, I see a lot, like, this reminds me a lot of quarterfinals. And at the end, we'll get there. But I just wanted to drop that in while we get to the analyzing. So let's just kick it off. We'll kick it off with the first event, as you guys see here. And it was four-time. A couple of rowing and snatches anyhow, squat, split, power, as long as the feet come together and with control of the bar. 50 cal row, 9 snatches at weight 1, 50 cal row, 6 snatches, 50 cal row, 3. Weights for the men were 165, 195, 225. For the women, 115, 135, 155. And when I looked at this initially, I was like, man, for those that are top tier, top 10 to 15 in every division, like, these snatch weights aren't going to be a problem. So there, it's going to be, how fast can you row without rowing at a pace that's going to take away from the speed at which you can do the snatches, which seems obvious, right? But for others, it's, how do you manage the row so you can still snatch well, which probably means slower and more breaks between the snatches, or how slow do you need a row so that you can actually try one of these lifts.
Now, I feel like we should say that the weights changed pending your age group.
Barely.
To, like barely. Like
55 fast. And 60.
Yeah.
No, 45 it was different, I thought.
I don't know. Let me look.
When we look at these, we usually just go off the baseline heavyweights, knowing that there'll be some changes.
It's unique that it was only two age groups.
Right. And I think like the setup for what this event is, I like the idea of the row. I like the idea of the weight. I do think it's a little interesting that, you know, kind of going back to one of the things you said, Chase, that we had already seen rowing basically in this format where it kind of didn't matter that much. Mm. This really didn't come down to that much of a rowing event.
Oh, I disagree so hard. As far as the top people go.
Top people just row.
So the top guys in the top guys in the younger age groups were getting like 8 minutes. 8, 9, or 10 minutes mm-hmm. were the top guys. Mm-hmm. The time frame that they had on this was that they were going to be expecting the snatches to be an issue. And so what I see on this is that the weight was not nearly high enough what it should have been.
Yeah.
Even the row. I mean, the 50 calorie row was the same whether you're 35 or you're 70.
Yeah.
And I think that is an issue, again, when you're looking at age groups. And I know that we're looking at the bigger chunk here.
Well, look at this. John's right. Just, a 45 to 49 weight class.
That's and that I don't think they've done that before.
They have never like they done that before.
Every time.
Bill and I have been talking about that for 3 years since we started this podcast of having a middle ground age group scale division in years of 10. So like 35 to 44.
How does the podcast know the weights of the old people and y'all don't?
Because we don't look at them anymore. And Bill doesn't even do them.
Dude, I don't do them.
Yeah, Bill doesn't even do them.
Okay, well, looking at this, like in all reality, and I'm talking as a 55-year-old guy, I do not think that 155 pounds for three.
Dang.
That's light.
Remotely equates to 220. Like it should be 185. 185.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which means that the actual weight, the 16 to 44, should be like 245, 265 even.
I
245. No, you gotta at least give me 245. All right, come on now.
Me and Chase.
245.
So different extremes.
Come on.
John's like, yes. I'm like, absolutely not.
y'all just wait till I get 35.
Oh, that's so funny.
I like the event though. I like the event. One of the things I was when I watched you guys talk about the initial reactions to this was I think that if they really, especially for age group, mm-hmm. because they didn't have this anywhere in here, and this was one of two places that I think that they should have had it,
yeah.
was it must be a squat. This should have been a squat snatch.
I agree.
If it was a squat snatch, then I think the weights are correct.
Right.
Because
100%.
It's just much harder to do a squat snatch than it is a power snatch if you're strong enough, fitness-wise, right. and it's a higher chance of failing. But to back up what Chase is going to say, so he doesn't have to say it. If the weights were light enough, like I did not touch and go 225. You know what I mean? And I mean, I kind of highly doubt anybody did unless.
I mean, I saw Paul Tremblay take this on and that dude can move some weight and he was doing singles.
Right. And I mean, if the weight was too light, then the top guys would be doing touch and go.
Yeah.
And I touch and go the first weight, second weight, every part of me was going to try to touch and go. I wanted to make this just 150 cal row for time and then like act like the snatches weren't even there and just row at 1,000 the whole time.
Yeah.
That was my thought process. Mm-hmm. The second I touched 195, I was like, nope. it was just single city from there.
Well, John, you mentioned singles, and we do have another guest that's coming on the show that everybody wishes was single.
Did you ever think that maybe there's more to life than being really, really, really ridiculously good looking?
I thought that was a good. I mean, listen, that's why they don't pay me the big bucks is to do transitions like that. Mr. J.R. Howell, welcome to the show, buddy.
Solid transition. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. We're talking about weights, dude. Did you? I'm sure you see this.
I've been listening all the way up to this point, so I'm good. You guys roll.
Yeah, but what the 45 to 49 weight class? Hey.
Awesome.
Welcome. It's only a 5-year span, so I have a problem with that. But you know,
I heard you guys say it. You've been saying it for years that there should be some kind of intermediary between the.
Well, here's how weird this is. Look, all right, here's 50 to 54 up here. 135, 155, 175. And then the next year's is 145. It's like a 10-pound difference. Like,
yeah.
Come on.
I think I would go 205 for 45 to 49,
yes.
185 for 50 to 54, 175 for 55 to 59, if that's what you wanted to do.
Mm-hmm. At least.
Yeah.
And then make it squat snatches, and then the workout's perfect.
Squat snatches, man.
Squat snatches. It has to be.
JR, reward mobility.
JR, squat snatches.
At older ages, mobility is a premium. You reward that.
Well, yeah. You should, because that is going to, I mean, if you're talking fitness, overall fitness, in the master's division, classically, you will see a lot of badass athletes that have gargantuan holes based purely on mobility.
Yes.
So they can be great on everything except for this one thing, because their shoulders can't do whatever, their hip mobility or whatever the issue is. And it's not a small hole. It's a gigantic pit. So I think that if you are trying to get the fittest athletes out there, you have to test that early. And JR, I have to say, bro, I was glad that you guys did the original discussion with this with Chase. But when I went back and rewatched it, I text Chase because I'm like, I'm fucking yelling at the screen right now. I was so mad that you're like, oh, we can test the overhead squat stuff at the game. Do it then. I'm like, no.
Who said that?
You got to get them. I think you guys did. Maybe it was Seth that said. I couldn't remember.
No, definitely wasn't me. I was actually going to echo your sentiment that, while I'm 100% on board and I'm really glad that there weren't pistols in any online stage this year, because I think that is a movement that's great to do in person. And that does test a lot of that mobility limitation that a lot of athletes have, especially at the advanced age groups.
Yeah.
Having an overhead squat or a full squat snatch, though, usually takes care of that. So I 100%. Am with you. I think that having that to get to the games, it would have changed the workout some. But I think Chase said this last week. He's going to be just fine just grooving his squat at 195. And then when he gets to 225, he's going to be feeling good. So who knows how many people squatted them anyway.
Yeah.
I'll tell you right now, the majority of the masters, the older masters especially, I don't think that they did at all. Yeah. In fact, I've seen so many – on the guy's side anyway, big beefy dudes that could power snatch 225, no problem.
Yeah.
But if you ask them to squat snatch, then they're looking at like 135, 155 maybe, because of the mobility issue.
It's like Roy Gamboa, who could like power snatch 285, but make him over at squat it. And that's a totally, totally different
John
thing.
John Young's dad power snatches 275.
What?
I think he can do more than that.
Oh my gosh.
Dang, dude.
All right. Now, JR, I said another element of the analyzing today is looking back at quarterfinals.
Right.
And
if you look at
quarterfinals, right, I see power snatches and rowing for cows. Mm-hmm. Now, it's an interval based one, right? But this was also rowing cow heavy. And cycling a light barbell with power snatches. And I'm like, oh, why did we do that again?
Yeah.
So
lots of carryover from quarterfinals to semifinals as far as movement selection, for sure. I would even make the argument here, and I'm sure that the programmers would too, that, hey, the stimulus from this cow row was – for most people a lot different than the interval based one.
For sure.
So yeah, definitely.
It's stimulus different, yes. But I'm like, we snatch and row in event one, and we're also snatch and rowing in event two.
Yep.
But you couldn't have it be a clean and jerk to go heavy, because you already did that in the quarters also with your 10-10-10 setup.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that even though the general movements would be the same, I sit back and go,
why not make it just an overhead squat?
Right.
That'd be fine too. 9 overhead squats, 165, 195, 225.
I'd probably beef up the numbers since you don't have to snatch it over and over.
Well, unless they're worried about like the judging standard on people standing up all the way.
Dude, I really don't think you have to. The times would just be faster.
Yeah.
I really don't think you have to, though.
As we move into this, we'll go through... show you guys things that we look at when we analyze the program. Because what we want for this show is not just be like, hey, look how much we know or we talk about. Like, this is how we look at these things as an educational standpoint. So that's what we want to try to bring for you guys when you look at this. So a couple big things that we look at. This is not all of them. These are just main points. Is time domains, volume of work, weights used or not used, the type of scheme and a modality, just of those three modalities that there are between weightlifting, monostructural, and gymnastics. And I had this as a short time frame, but I also put two different things in here between men and women because there was a big difference between the two. And it all centered around the women were also having to row 50 cals. So if you thought this was a rowing workout for the men, it is 100% a rowing workout for the women because of the same volume of work that they're doing, which is usually going to be closer to around like somewhere between 35 to 38 cals if men are rowing 50, right? And look at the time frame. These are your top 10 times, 8 to 9 minutes for the men, 11 to like 3 minutes slower between the men and the women on this. I still had this as a short time frame overall because a moderate time frame is more that classic CrossFit time frame of like, you know, 12 to 15 minutes is that moderate time frame. This sub 10 is still relatively short. The reps at moderate, it was mainly just the cals on the row. Light, moderate, heavy on the barbells for the majority. Couplet, just two movements in here, and then the weightlifting and monostructural. As we look at just like movement patterns used, I put the main move in just bold and then the secondary one in italics. So this is a pull from the floor, right? A big hinging movement coming off the ground every time you have to pick the bar up off the floor. The pull that you have to do through the movement isn't the main mover. It is that hinge, yet it is still a big part of that. And the row has a bit of all that, right? The snatch being in that vertical plane when we're moving, you know, north to south. And then the row just being in that horizontal, it's still a drive. It's still a hinge. It's a bigger pull on the row. And then it's a definitely leg pump once you're getting through that. So those are the movement patterns we're looking at. You guys like my graphics?
Dude, your graphics are on.
Yeah, very, very snazzy.
All right, anything else on event one for semifinals before we move to event two?
I think the top scores were very impressive. I left this workout thinking like I smoked it. And then I looked at the top scores and I was like, gosh.
Yeah. I was like, I wonder if anybody went sub 10. Cause we had talked about that when we were analyzing or going through. It was like, I think sub 10 will be a good time. And I'm like, oh, 8 with a shot at sub 8. Yeah. Okay.
I think 10 was like around 50 something.
What do you think you're rowing? 1400 or
more? Yeah.
1400
for myself.
Cause
I'm 6'2 though. So.
I was 1040,
okay.
And I don't think people are snatching faster than I did, but I was rowing at 1,000 the whole time.
Yeah, 1,000 is about a two-minute pace for your 500-meter row. 1,400 is more sub 145. Keeping that pace for 2.5 minutes would get you done there, or less than, actually.
Just trying to think. It's not a lot of time to make up that much time.
That's I know. I was like, I'm going to spend 7 to 8 minutes on the rower.
Right.
Alone.
Right.
So, all right, let's move on to event number two. Event two for the semifinals for the age groupers was a 20-minute AMRAP, 50 double unders, 10 chest to bar pull-ups, 10 box jumps at 30 and 24 with a step down, and then 10 strict handstand push-ups. We talked about this last weekend. Look, I know there's a lot of movements in here, and this is a strict handstand push-up workout.
For 20 minutes,
For 20 minutes. Everything else is like how you pace to get back to it.
I think it's an engine workout.
I mean, I have a good engine, and I have terrible handstand push-ups. So, like, the engine isn't the problem. It's my ability to do.
I think it's a bit TR, then.
Right, right. Yeah, no, that's true.
With no issue.
And I looked at, like you said, the times.
I got 9. I was 720.
Okay.
Okay.
Flat. But, like, I was only slow because, like, whatever my breathing was is how fast I went.
Interesting. Maybe
no
you
muscle at all.
Maybe you should have broke up your handstand push-ups more to let your lungs come back down.
What?
No? Just saying.
I didn't need.
Well, clearly you did.
Have y'all talked about this? Have you done the workout, Chase?
I have not.
I'm starting to love the step down from the 30-inch box.
Oh, why is that?
And I know everybody's critical of it, but it is so hard to step down from a 30-inch box. And, like, your hip flexors are so lit up after. And, like, the energy it takes to push the pace on the box jump step down on a 30-inch is so taxing. Like when you do this workout, you'll see what I mean. You're going to step down and there's going to be like a 1 second pause and then you're going to jump again. But it's not that fast step down, immediately jump. Like to do that, Like, I only did it on the first round and the last round.
Okay.
And you're fitter than me aerobically, but like, you'll see what I'm saying. It jumps your heart so fast because it takes that much energy more.
You're obviously not a master's athlete because we've all been stepping down for years anyway. So we're all well conditioned to step
down. Yeah.
So I don't even know what you're talking about right now.
Dude, it's interesting. It's an interesting feeling because it's not
a rest. It is a different stimulus.
You think it's going to be your rest. That 30 inches makes it harder than you think. Like it's just, yeah, do a workout with it and it's weird. It's a weird feeling.
I do feel, okay, to Jason's point here,
that's Tyler, by the way.
Oh, yeah. I always saw with Jason on there. I'm looking at the other ones. I think that it's important to remember that people are racing, and they should be allowed to go as fast as they want to go. It's on them, I think, to keep the safety part, to save your Achilles. Yeah. Okay, then save your Achilles if you want to. That's not on. It's like telling people, like, if they're racing the 100-yard dash, hey, don't come out of the blocks too fast because you might pop an Achilles. So you have to come out slow, and then you can get going running fast, and then we'll have the race.
And I'm in that camp, Bill. I mean, like, if people can rebound, they should be able to rebound because everybody can't rebound. It takes it's athleticism to be able to rebound, especially 30-inch box jumps.
Yeah,
for sure. But
God, I hated rebounding those back in the day.
Right.
Do a workout with this on a 30-inch box, and you'll see what I'm saying. The stimulus.
No,
is
you're
just
right.
Different.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. It is. But it also it forces a gut. Like this one, it's weird because there's so many transitions, which is a lot like the open workout with the rowing and the deadlifts and the jump rope. There's a lot of transitionary areas.
Yeah.
And then the box jumps, it's almost like a governor on the system. It forces you to only go at a particular pace. Not to say that it's not difficult, and it's hard to push a pace because you can only push it so hard.
Yeah.
It's kind of like wall balls. Like it is what it is. Like you're getting 2 seconds a rep. Like that's it. You're not going any faster than that. Sorry. And a lot of these movements, other than I think, you know, for even like for yourself, the only other one that would be anything would be the strict handstand push-up. I don't see people really having an issue. I mean, maybe the chest bar pull-up, but I think for most, at the higher end level of athlete, for sure, like 10 chest bar pull-ups is not a big deal at all.
Well, the reason why this first came into play that Boz had said is that if they program, say, a box jump over at a lower box or just a box jump, and it's a big part of the event itself, he doesn't want to force people to have to do that to stay competitive outside their realm of fitness, right? So in the open workout, that was, gosh, what was it, 23.1, where it was wall walks, dumbbell snatch, and box jump overs?
Yeah.
Or sorry, 22.1. What is 22.1? Was the box jump overs took the most time, right?
Right.
It was like 3 wall walks, dumbbell snatches were nothing, and it was just all box jump overs. And they forced the step down because people would win that workout because they could rebound and then force everybody to have to play along with that speed test was the reason of which he was given. I'm not saying that's right or wrong. I'm in the camp for you, Bill, as well, as like if we're playing a sport and this is what is required of you to go faster, so be it. I get that. I'm just giving context of the reason why this is getting put in place.
No, I understand what he's trying to do. I think he's trying to be responsible with what he's doling out. But again, a race is a race is a race. You set up the rules of what the race entails, and then don't tell me how to win that race.
Yeah,
let me do whatever I want to do to win that race. And I mean, look, there's. If we're in the regular class setting, then I'm going to be looking for people's safety because I want them to be able to come back the next day. But as all you guys know, all you guys that are here with us, when it's competition time, I mean, if need be, I'll break my arm off to win. If I'm doing handstand pushups, my old man neck is not happy about the fact that I'm basketballing my dome off the ground to get a rebound off the floor to get back up again. But I'm going to do what I need to race. I'll be paying for it the next couple of days, but that's on me. It's my choice to do that. So I don't like the fact that I'm being told how to run my race. personally.
Bill, I got a question for you then. I think me and you are going to tussle a little bit.
Ooh, oh, let's do it. Let's
yes. Do
it. And I've been waiting for this because it's really pertinent to this conversation.
Okay.
You would agree that a kipping handstand push-up and a strict handstand push-up, one is forcing you to slow down, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. And you would agree the same thing if I told you you're not allowed to butterfly your chest to bars and you have to kip them, correct?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So whether or not we think it's right now, to be, whether or not we think it's for them to be responsible with the bodies of the athletes, and we always see someone pop an Achilles, or we just want you to have to slow down because it's annoying. Why is one okay, but the other isn't?
I don't disagree with that. I don't disagree with if the test is to tweak something a little bit, I'm cool with that. Like I get it. It's like when we did the Fran ones in the back in the day, it was 100 pounds, it was 95 pounds, and it was chest bar pull up, not regular pull up. I'm fine with that. However, the narrative hasn't been, we want you to step down because we want to do something different. We want to test a different stimulus. That's not, I don't think that's what we're doing.
Do you think that's why he did the quarterfinals burpee box jump over that way? He didn't let you jump off the box because he wanted you to have to grind through it more. It wasn't for bounding because you had to go down into the next burpee.
In all reality, honestly, I don't believe that's the case. I think that like with most things, they get themselves pigeonholed into one way to do a particular movement, and then it's always that way. The 24 and the 20 box, the 30 and the 10 and the 9 foot on the wall ball. Why? Because we've just done it so many times.
Yeah.
Not because it's right or it's wrong, or here's the stimulus that we're trying to look for. Because if they were really being particular about the stimulus of what you're talking about here, I think then on the last event, they would have changed the calories on the row for the women, and they would have changed the weights to make them more exact. So I personally, I don't think that they are being as meticulous and as nerded out as me and you and Chase and John and all the other programmers, you know, Taylor and would be in that position. I don't think so.
Yeah.
I think it's just,
no, I think it's a really interesting conversation, because even though we're going way deep into the weeds now, when you talk about the whole premise of CrossFit and the whole premise of power output and foot pounds per second, and then you're like, okay, so then we know the fastest way to create, we know the fastest way to do these things is to do it this way, but wait a minute, we're going to go back and make you do it legless now.
Right.
And we're going to make you go back and do strict deficit now.
Yeah.
But wait a minute, you've told us this whole time the point is for us to produce as much power as we can, and this is actually making us produce less power. So why are we doing the strict stuff? And then, so that's like that's something not a lot of people think about, but then we get into the weeds of methodology versus sport.
Right.
Is it supposed to be the same? Is it supposed to be a test, or is it supposed to preserve all the initial arguments of like, yeah, we know you can do strict pull-ups, but doing them this way is going to make you produce way more power. And that's our goal.
Okay. Here's what I think is some of the difference. You programming a, like Crash Crucible or one of the other events, you are very aware, of the elements that you're putting into each workout, and then where those workouts are setting up and what that's going to do on the compounding effect of those events as we get into the competition, because you want the final event, you want people to have either this amount of fatigue on them or this amount of work on them as they're going through. I don't think that it's looked at this way. These are events that aren't happening in one place where it's going to be multiple events in a day. I think that this is, let's just go for 20 minutes and we're just kind of going around long, but we don't, you know, this is a high box, so let's save the Achilles. You know, we're waving the flag of save the Achilles, but then
it's like save the whales,
right? Totally. But we're doing chest to bar pull-ups, and it's
Bill
like
hates Achilles.
but on chest to bar pull-ups, it's like, okay, we're not saying go strict on those because that's a safer pull-up. I mean, like,
I have a question for you guys. And JR made me think about it.
We are way off of what we were going to be talking
with
about.
With the handstand push-up reference. Do you think, and it'd be like at a quarterfinal or a semifinal level, do you think we'll ever see a workout that escalates with box jumps? Like you have to do a box jump step down, and then the next round is box jump overs, however you want to do it, and the next is box clear overs?
That'd be cool.
Like it just elevates like that, like they do with the handstand push-up all the time? The only reason I thought of that is just because you made the handstand push-up reference, JR.
I'm actually,
yeah, I mean, slow down, and then athleticism pays off in the end with the clear overs.
Yeah, I think it was 2022 run the test. Boz talked about how much he values jumping as like part of athleticism and fitness, and we saw an up and over, like, you need to be able to use your hands to get over something, you need to be able to jump on top of something, you need to be able to jump all the way over something. And yeah, it was just the pig that they cleared, but you kind of saw that progression. It was subtle, but you kind of saw the progression that you're talking about. And I think it would be really cool. We're so used to seeing ladders in the form of loads.
Yeah.
And occasionally you'll see a descending ladder. Like, I program in class workouts, Chase and Bill probably have too, where it's like, hey, you're actually going to start at your heaviest weight, and at the end you're going to do like a set of 50 at a super, super lightweight. Yep, and that can be sometimes nastier. And of course, in a competition, it's a little different, because if you can't start the workout, then you're just standing around and it's a little bit more risky. But no, I think it's cool to how we have done that with gymnastics. Okay, you're going to do a higher level pull with each round, or you're going to do a harder handstand movement with each round, doing something like that with something monostructural, doing something like that with jump rope variations. You're going to do double unders, and then, or you're going to do single unders, then double unders, then triple unders, which is what, you know, a lot of people were screaming for in the skill speed medley that year. Why not just do single, double, triple, instead of doing that kind of stuff?
Yeah. Hey,
please no triple.
Before we go to the next event here, do you guys like this number setup with the quick breaks, or would you rather have just doubled everything? 100 double unders, 20 chest bar, 20 box jump, 20 strict handstand pushups. Is your race for 20 minutes?
I like the discipline. Like, you have to have the best score, like, or a good score, you have to be disciplined in your transitions. And I think that's really hard to do for 20 straight minutes.
Is it too representative of what the Open was, though?
It is very like the Open, but harder movements. So
in an AMRAP, I like the transition game. If it was five rounds for time of 120, 20, 20, then I like chunks.
I agree with that. If it was four time,
I like chunk.
Like the individuals.
That's something I think we talked about last week too. You look at the last workout, and I know we're not there yet, but it's 30, 30, 30. So there is some chunk there, but it's only 90 repetitions total. And then you have the workout. The only chunk volume you really have, to me, in the whole competition, are the calories.
Yep.
Right.
And then a lot of people would push back and say, hey, that chunk of 12 at the end really means something with the muscle ups. And it does, for sure, because I'm sure that the amount of separation just on those 12 was substantial. Mm-hmm. But in general, you don't, to your point, you're not seeing a chunk of something that you're like, oh man, this is going to separate so many people,
because
this set of 50 whatever is gonna really hurt people.
Well, and John, you said you were able to go through this without any sort of fatigue. Like, you were able to just go boom, 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 boom. If the numbers were doubled, I mean, granted, okay, it would be less rounds, I get it, but like, all of a sudden now you're going to get into the level of fatigue for the handstand pushups. You're going to get into the now you're going to have to be smart about where are you making your breaks, how are you making breaks, do you have the discipline to keep your break? I mean, we saw what the strict handstand pushups did in the quarterfinals, you know, whether it was wall facing or even the strict for a lot of people.
I would say it just makes it more of a handstand pushup workout though if you double it. Like, then the people will run into fatigue way quicker doing sets of 20, especially if they're not smart. But I mean, that's part of it. I fall into JR's camp. I mean, if it's a 20-minute AMRAP, I think the fast transitions is a part of it.
It's like Cindy.
I need to be fitter to do more. Right, yeah, Cindy. Like, you just have to be fitter to do more. Like, you need better lungs. Where it's more of a muscle fatigue game, five rounds for time. And if that's not what they're searching for,
All right. Well, then let me ask you this. Then why not go the other way and say, okay, 20 minutes, 10 pull-ups, 10 box jumps, 24 and 20, and 10 handstand push-ups. Speed everybody up, because then you're going to be testing pure fitness, like real fitness, because there's not going to be any muscle fatigue other than that will be more like Cindy. What do you think about that, going that way?
I don't know. That feels too easy of a workout. And then everybody can go unbroken.
Fat, right?
Well, while this is an invigorating conversation that you guys are having, let's move on.
Sorry.
And as far as the step down, it's there for safety. That's it. Right. You talk to Boz and it's like, we go way too deep in the weeds of stimulus. Like, it's literally there so people don't get hurt. That's the only reason why it's in there.
Change Chase's name to CrossFit HQ.
Yeah. I mean, you know, while I'm here. All right. Time domain, 20 minutes, AMRAP, high volume, mostly because of the double unders. Like, if you look at some of the top times, like 900 plus, actually, it's like getting to 1,000. John's like, hey, I didn't get tired and I did 8 rounds. The winners are doing like 11 or 12. So, you know, maybe if you did those, you'd get a little bit more fatigued, but just putting that out there. I can't even do 5 rounds in 20 minutes, so I'm not going to say shit to you, John. No weights, all body weight, 4+ movements in here, but it's not a chipper. It's just cycling through it for an AMRAP. Monostructural and gymnastics, whereas the monostructural is the double unders, and then the 3 gymnastics movements, pull, push, jump between those. With our movements, we have bounding for the double under, which is the main part of that. Shoulder fatigue is a piece of that puzzle. Pulling in the vertical plane for the chest to bar pull-ups. The jump in a vertical plane for the box jump. It's not a box jump over. That's an old number. And then the press for the strict handstand push-up on movement pattern. So we had row, snatch, 8 to 10 minutes, short time frame, 20 minutes, just because it's an AMRAP. Easy to get that nailed down, which some people say was missing in quarterfinals. And then we move to event number 3, and that's the ascending rep scheme of front squats and muscle ups, 185 and 125 for the main weights. Obviously, skills and weights will differ as you get into the higher age groups. And the question there was like how people were going to manage this if they even needed to, and was that weight heavy enough relative to what's been programmed so far to separate the pack a little bit. And after watching Hiller do it and seeing what some of the times were, I was like, oh, this is...
The weight wasn't heavy.
The weight was not heavy enough. And arguably the ring volume, even though it is 30-30, which is a classic volume for ring muscle-ups and 30 reps for time, or Briggs, as we like to call it here on Get With The Programming, because it needs to be a named girl workout. And... I don't know. What are you guys' thoughts on this after seeing the times that came out? Because if you look at this, it's short, but it's not quite a sprint, right? Like nobody was dead sprinting 30 and 30 or 3 to 12. But if you were doing well, you were doing this unbroken, you were resting just to gather yourself before putting the, you know, getting the bar off the ground or getting your set for ring muscle ups. But it wasn't a dead sprint, but 3 to 4 minutes was the time frame, a little bit higher on the women's side, which extended at 3 to 5 minutes. What do you guys think about it after the fact? What do you thought it was going to be? Does it change the way we originally thought about it when it was first programmed?
I think this was probably one of the most semi-final-y type of events of the three, just because of what it was in the skill. But I do think that if you're going to go front squats, I think it was definitely light because the front squats were, it was just a pause in the action of your muscle ups, honestly. And I think that this, if you weren't going to make them overhead squat with the snatches in the first one, then this one could have been a great place to put overhead squats and have to do the exact same thing, but make it an overhead squat instead of a front squat. Make that squat count for something rather than just being a break in the action of your of your muscle ups.
JR, I'm going to come to you because John said it's too light. And at this programming reps, I agree. And if I'm keeping it front squats, do we go 205, 145, or do we add a set of 15 at the end?
I think if you add a set of 15 at the end, it doesn't matter if it's 225 or 155. I think it's still just a ring muscle.
Right, then it is for sure, yeah. Okay.
So ain't going unbroken on that 15, Chase.
So I would say...
That's kind of the point, right? Like 12 put people to the edge but didn't break them off. Is that set of 15 going to separate the field that they wanted to or maybe originally thought that they were because now you're doing 45 of each, which is a classic 21-15-9 rep scheme.
At all.
Yeah, and we're just getting super nitpicky on everything. But if you go back to what Bill said about just making that first workout full snatch, or I even like the idea of making it overhead squat. Those 18 overhead squats will really separate people probably more than the snatches did. You make this squat clean and you leave the weight alone. And I think that's what you got overhead squat there. And then you got a dynamic.
Okay. So now you're just flipping
different workout though.
I like that. Because you know what that is?
Wildly different in that it balances the two movements, yes.
Yeah. I like that, right. Because, all right, snatch to front squat.
Yeah, for sure. And I'm not, this isn't a repro.
Well, here's the time domain, John. The time cap's 15 freaking minutes and people are doing this in 4. Right? So, like, yeah, the time domain's going to be different as far as, like, completing it. And I totally agree. And I actually like that as the simple change. And a lot of times when we reprogram or retool programming that gets put out there, instead of just making it as simple as, like, oh, just change everything and look how good we are at changing this up or making it is. But it's like, all right, we snatch and we're front squatting. I love what you said there, JR, of let's go overhead squat and squat cleans. And, yeah, maybe you don't have to change the weights at all. It offsets the rings, which is really going to be the crux here for a lot of those athletes at this level. And then it's a cute little Elizabeth twist, right? Squat cleans and ring muscle ups instead of squat cleans and ring dips.
Devil's advocate for a second on it,
please.
Okay. I have a feeling that they wanted this to be a ring muscle up centric workout. And if this is like the gymnastics crux workout that they wanted, they are fully aware that the top times are going to be ridiculous, like 4 minutes, because those people that are that good at them and ring muscle ups can do it unbroken. But I don't put it past them to be like, that's what they wanted. But 30 ring muscle ups is still a big volume. And so to include all of the age ranges, like, they leave it as is. A lot of people will struggle, but the best won't struggle. And mm-hmm. then they're okay with the tight times at the top. If you make the front squats heavier, then it becomes a front squat. The front squats are part of it, right? And like, I think the front squats, if they wanted all ring muscle ups, then they just leave it as it is. But if you want the front squats to play a part at all, but then that next movement means nothing. Like, the 185 front squats mean nothing. So if they want the front squats to play a part, then it should be heavier. If they want it to just be ring muscle ups, then they should just do what they did. Or like you said, put 15 on the end, but then the weight's 135 or, you know, whatever. But then if you want an actual, like, the workout to be like a great workout, not the ring muscle ups is the end all be all, then I like JR's. Because then people who can move that weight over and over again, they can make up time. But you get a longer break on the ring muscle up. So the ring muscle ups don't mean as much anymore, because then you get a longer break. There's no break with the front squats because you're done like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, John, to your point, just looking at the 4 events, there are 2 that are dependent on gymnastics and there are 2 that are not. Right. So whether one is dependent on your ability to move the load or your ability to row hard, it's not dependent on gymnastics. And then for the last workout, I think it's easy for a lot of people to just say, oh, that was a grip test for me, or it actually just mattered how fast I could get through the 30 thrusters at the end. So you've got 4 workouts. You've got 2 that are dependent on gymnastics, which is what you're saying, and 2 that are not. And I think that's great balance. I think that's really good, just generally speaking. On the ring muscle up one, I think I mentioned this last week, while they may have come back and revisited that movement in a smart way, because there's a lot of people that snuck by that workout 3 1/4 that really aren't that great at gymnastics, whether it was the strict handstand push-ups or the rope climbs or the ring muscle-ups at the end. Because you had so many gates in that workout, a lot of people probably got into semis that aren't really that great at ring muscle-ups. So I think coming back to it in this capacity and being like, okay, you're faced with it from the beginning. If you can't do these, we're going to know it. I think that's a good thing.
Okay. Like that.
And I don't think you made it if you weren't pretty darn good at ring muscle-ups.
I was about to look at that, actually.
I'm sure that as the ages get older, the gaps are bigger. Right. So like someone that finished under that 15-minute cap, I believe, for workout 3 1/4 versus like someone who crushed it.
Here, and, men, top 200 place, didn't finish the workout.
And that's how many total reps? Oh, 17 of the 20?
Ring muscle-ups, yeah.
And then the fastest, like, I wonder what Will Morad did that workout in, like, 7s.
I mean, there's a guy 8 above him that didn't finish either.
Yeah, 7:44. Will Morad 48. So
huge gap. Jeez. So I think coming when you're narrowing down to 40, sure, a lot of people aren't going to assume that the guy in 199 or the guy in 200 is going to be qualifying for 40, but you never know. You never know how people approach it. So while I know I've been a big proponent of not coming back to the same movements in subsequent stages of competition mm-hmm. and either progressing them because we're narrowing the funnel or just screening them for what they're going to be doing at the games is most important. I think sometimes revisiting it is the smart thing to do. And maybe that was their mindset here.
I think there was a lot of people in the master divisions, especially in the older divisions, where they weren't hitting any sort of volume on the muscle-up. So I like the fact that there are muscle-ups in there, and I like that it is a like you can't hide. If you don't have muscle-ups,
yeah,
you are going to shit the bed in this one, period. But you're right. Like if you are going to design an event, you don't put movements in there that don't mean anything. And I agree that the front squats just didn't really seem to mean enough of what it is. And that's the hard part. That's what I mean. Like when I look at this, I like the muscle up part, even 30, like, okay.
Yeah.
All right. I mean, like for the younger guys, cool. Like they're going to be able to blast through this. No problem. You get up in the middle somewhere, 30 is going to be a big number for a lot of people. That's fine. But basically it's set up to where it's like, okay, what's your 30 rep for time? I mean, you almost could have done just that because the front squats didn't do anything at all.
And if you wanted them to mean something, I think it needs to be 225, not 205.
Well, that's going to be a question. Does it need to be 225 or is 205 going to suffice?
I think 205 is like you literally cut, maybe you get 15 people, that makes a difference. Hmm. 225 makes a difference on a lot of people.
But we're also not taking 10.
People would go unbroken.
Right. We're not just taking 10. We're taking 40. So does it
need
to be 225?
I don't think 205 does it. It's only 20 pounds, Chase.
Yeah. All right. I like it. Okay, front squat.
Squat. I like the event, though.
Yep. Ring muscle-ups. Pulling and pressing. Pulling is the smaller of the two. Usually people fail the dip, not the turnover on the ring muscle-ups. And come to our final event. 10-minute cap, not needed. 30 cleans anyway. Let's just say 30 muscle cleans, 30 toes to bar, 30 thrusters at 115 and 75. Basically set your hair on fire and go as a finale. This one I label, I didn't write this in. This is a sprint. I meant to change that. Okay. This was a sprint. This is a sprint we thought it was going to need to be. And then you look at the times, which were sub 3 as your faster times, then this is definitely something that you just had to go for it. Now, I don't know if you had to like sprint unbroken, but what, 230 to 3 is where we're at. Let's see. Yeah, that's what it says right there. See, like I said, 230 to 3. Go. Yeah, told you guys. Okay. That being the finisher, power cleans from the floor, which is probably why we can't just do squat cleans for the previous one, because the trickle effect of other movements that are programmed. It's the same reason why, yes, step overs would have been better in 24.1, but we're doing burpee box step overs in the second one. So you can't just change one thing and in effect not the other one. So maybe the best option is, if that's what we're doing, is maybe adding weight to the front squats is a great way to just tweak that one. And in the first event, maybe it's just adding more reps on the snatches versus just, or just squat snatches, as we said there. Barely any change. This one at the jump is basically what we thought, guys, right? Just 3, 2, 1, go. Hold on for dear life and just try to make the CrossFit games.
I like the fact that it was a sprint for a lot of people, because that's something that I think that we haven't really had in any of the qualifiers getting up to this point.
Yeah.
The hard part, that's a tough line to ride when you know that the things are going to be fast. The movements are going to be fast. The weight is light, because now you're going to have to judge those reps to get people in. And that's where, I mean, it can get dicey with a lot of people. I mean, we saw what it did for the step ups. And that was just because people were going fast. And so here's an event that everyone's going to go fast. And I think that can make it tough. But I like the fact that we had a sprint. We needed it. We needed an all-out, light your hair on fire and go. So I like what it was.
Yeah, I agree. I think it was a great spot for it. I think a lot of people probably waited to do it at the very end. They really emptied the tank. Unless you were someone that was, you know, maybe going to repeat three, then you kind of save this one. And we're like, you know what? If I'm going to go to the CrossFit Games, I'm going to go unbroken on the thrusters. And there are a few people out there, I'm sure, that did not have that mindset. But because they're like, hey, I'm going to go 12, 10, 8 on the cleans, or I'm going to go a set of 20 and then 10 singles because I know people aren't going to be able to do that, I'm going to buy myself a break on the thrusters. Sure. And this is a really cool workout because it's 90 reps, but there's so many ways that you could get to the same result. There are so many ways. Yeah. But that being said, you're going to probably get to the same result no matter how you do it. So you're not just going to change something. Well, I'm just going to go unbroken on the thrusters the next time I do it. Okay, cool. And then you're just going to go slower on the other stuff, and you're still going to end up within 5 to 10 seconds. I think that's a really clever workout in that way, that you are as fit as you are on this workout. You're not probably going to change a strategy and go crazy faster. We get a second pull from the floor, which I think is good and needed. We get a second squat, which I think is good and needed. And it's a lighter squat. And the thing I like the most about the workout is that it is that weird weight, because like at 95, you don't respect it. And at 135, you probably respect it too much. And at 115, you're like, I can probably go unbroken, but I really don't want to. And that's a perfect,
or you don't know, right? Which is another cool part of that is like, all right, I pick up the bar for thruster number one and I'll see at the end, all right, whatever it takes to get there. And I like that. That's good.
Yeah, I agree. I think my mindset on workouts like this, where I know it's like, man, it's either you're going to go unbroken or you're going to get like 27 and fail and then do three more. But like, in my head, there is no way you can think I'm going to repeat this and strategize it. Like, this is a one time I'm going to walk in, set the clock, and I'm never going to do it ever again. and you could because you could just hold your breath and close your eyes for 2 minutes, and then you got 1 minute. Just, you know, when you're in it, you're in it. It's easy. Like, there's no like stop once you're in it. And then, you know, just kill yourself and then you're good. Then you're good to go. Like, these workouts, it's so hard to make yourself go. But once you start going, it's a wrap. It's over when it's over. And then you never have to see it ever again. Like, I think, and that's really easy to make myself think that way. And it usually works out.
Yeah, that's good. It's like, you should go at a pace where the last thrust you do is the last one you had. Right, like almost fail towards the end. Because like if you finish, you're like, oh, that's not too bad. It's like you pace that incredibly too much and the wrong way. So close to the out, power clean, hinge pull. Pull not the main mover here, and it's from the floor, as you talked about earlier. Toes to bar, flexion in a hang position, and then thruster, squat, press, both having a massive impact on the movement itself for the thruster. Last little piece, always like this, is just breaking things up and see what we had at our disposal. Six categories more just for funsies is equipment being used. We hung on the rig twice. Barbell was used 3 times. Jump rope once. Rings once. Row once. Box once. Weightlifting movement patterns. Putting hinging. Pulling. Right. So when we pull, we don't just mean like pulling from the floor. That's the hinge that we're talking about. We did that twice. We pulled twice. We squatted twice and then pressed once for our weightlifting movements, our gymnastics, flexion, press, jump, pull. We had a 2 of each and then 1 of each when it came to that. Modalities, monostructural, we had 2. Weightlifting, 4. Gymnastics, 5. And those are just the percentage breakouts of those. Time domains, we had 2 short, 1 sprint, and 1 long. All right, so still that middle ground. But if you look at what we did in quarterfinals, we dabbled in that middle time frame range, that 11 to 16 minute time frame. So we touched the base there. Like we said, we were missing, unless you got time capped in 24.2, which a lot of people did in quarterfinals. We didn't have that longer time domain or the short sprinty ones. And then monostructural movements used, we had the rower and the double under, which brings us to the end. And I know we're pushing against the time for Bill, is our analyzing our Element 26 thumb tape review between two thumbs. You guys can use tenths if you want to. Bill, you were not a part of the strategy one, although you were yelling at your screen, being a part of it while you were indisposed last week, but I'll let you kick this thing off.
Okay. I liked you know, even though John said that a lot of these classes were fairly classroom-esque, and I don't disagree with that necessarily. And I think that, you know, even though we have a an online qualifier, I think that it still lends itself to do that. I do like the fact that they did try to push the envelope a little bit more with some of the weights, some of the movements, the volume of the ring muscle ups and some of the skills that we saw. But I feel that missing that overhead squat position, and I know I'm kind of harping on this quite a bit, but I've seen as an athlete, as a coach, as a commentator for that division, that is an element that will either keep someone in or out of the game. So if you do not have them, you will see athletes get to the games and not be able to do any kind of crazy weights that are there because of that one movement. I think it's really, really important to be thinking about that. And I think I didn't even realize that they did the weights from the 45 on. That was kind of cool. So that was a plus on that. Overall, I think I'm going to go like a 1.25.
Okay.
I think that there was a lot of good stuff that was in there. I felt that there were a couple misses, not out of trying to put the right stuff in, but not really fully diving into it much to see what your stimulus is really supposed to be or what you're really trying to get out of that as far as what you want your ending to look like. You can't have people getting 2 minutes in a race and have a time cap of 15 minutes. I think that you're not really looking at what you're really putting together if that's the case. So 1.25.
All right. GR?
Yeah, I think I was, from the time they first came out, one of the most vocal about critiques in movement selection. I think that's something I'm just really biased about as a programmer myself. It's easy for me to sit back and just say, oh, well, you did strict handstand pushups. Why didn't you do handstand walk? You're probably going to have them handstand walk at the games. Let's say you can handstand walk when you get there. But like I mentioned on the show last week, I don't know if Joe and Bob were allowed to do that. So it's not reasonable for me to say, oh, man, that workout would have been great if it was 50 dubs, 10 chest to bar, 50-foot handstand walk, 10 box jump. Boom. It would have been better. Maybe. Or maybe they really wanted to see who could really do strict handstand pushups because that workout at quarterfinals maybe hid some people that had some holes there. I'm super open to that. That being said, those small critiques, could the weight have been a little heavier on workout one? Maybe. Did the fastest people, were they also probably going to be the fastest people at 245? Probably. So the little critiques like that I have. I'm always going to err on the side of more events. I always think there should be more, especially when you're qualifying a smaller group of people. There are people that have holes that probably didn't get them exposed. So while I think like five would have been better than four, and it would have given you an opportunity to maybe have that kind of workout, Bill's saying we really didn't have. Like, to me, when I just look at it, I think that last one is kind of like a sprint grunt work type workout. But that just like moderate to moderately long grunt work where there's nothing sexy about it. There's no skill to slow you down. There's no weight to slow you down. It's just raw old school base capacity. If you have another one of those in there, do I think it's like amazing, well-rounded? Sure. But maybe they were just told, hey, you can only have four. So deal with it.
Yeah.
That being said, I'm going to give it 1.5.
John?
Yeah. And kind of on top of what Bill and JR just said, I think when there is only four events, it's more of an onus to hit all of the stimuluses that, like Bill said, is a crux for masters people. And like, he's hung up on the overhead squat, but like, if that's shown to be like a major separator, then, and you only have four events for the age group to qualify to the games, same with handstand walking, if that's shown to be a major separator, I think you need those in the qualifying process to the games, because then you're going to have people at the games that can't do those things. And it's shown that that's what they're going to be tested on. That's, you know, that's kind of bad if you're going to be send people to a test that they haven't prepared for, or, you know, are going to fail, like not the right people. Right. And I say over and over about the individuals, like, I want the right people at the games.
Yeah.
That's no, like, nothing against like the smaller divisions, but when you give three people to Asia, it's not the right people at the games, right? It's not the fittest people at the games. I kind of feel the same way with this. If there's testing the movements that are not going to be at the games, why?
Yeah.
Over. But I liked the programming. I plan on doing all four of the workouts, and I really liked the programming. So I'm going to give it one thumb up. I'm a very old school guy. I don't like the I'm one and a half, two. That's it. There's no.
All right. It's good to know your scoring system. You
know, or a thumb down. I will give thumb down. Y'all give like no thumbs down. I think it goes two thumbs down, one thumb down, no thumbs, one thumb up, one thumb and a half, and then two thumbs. That's my rating system. So
that's how it first started. And then we felt like we were just giving everybody the same grade. So we had to put in tenths in there. So I like it. I like it. Yeah. You're get with the programming circa 2021. I like what you guys put in there. There's a couple things I think about too when I'm looking at this is, okay, I like John is like, we want to get the right people there without a doubt, right? 100%. And, you know, with JR saying is that, oh, are we waiting to test for these things at the game? I'm like, no, we should not just wait to test games things and just like hope this group can handle that at the games. I think that filter needs to be a part of semifinals because this isn't quarterfinals. Right, this is semifinals. You should be able to handstand walk when you get to the games, not we hope you can when you guys get here. So I would have liked to have seen a handstand walk instead of a strict handstand push-up when that was really the only thing that was being tested there is how well can you do these over and over and over, which I feel we did that in quarterfinals already. Right, we did a lot of pressing in quarterfinals. Why are we testing more to make sure they could do it again? In semifinals, just put a 25-foot handstand walk in there and replace that for the 10 strict handstand push-ups. I like that as a better test. Make snatches, make those squat. It's so simple, it's so easy to do, and it gets a better slew of people there. And I don't think it's going to remove the top athletes that get there, to JR's point. With all this programming, your top 20 will be the top 20 no matter who's programming or what the programming is. But those next 20 in a field of 40, I think that's where a lot of moving and shaking can happen in a pool of 200. And I would have liked to seen a bit more attention to detail when it comes to those things, especially when we just had most of the same things that happened in quarterfinals. I don't really mind event three that much as far as the weight. I think bumping it up a little bit would have just been a nice thing to offset the muscle ups in that ascending rep with the 30 and 30. And then I really do love the final sprint towards the end. So all in all, I'm giving it a little bit more leeway because the number of people qualifying, if this was just 10, I would have a much different view of how this programming was put together. I think another event is necessary, but now that we're taking such a big pool of athletes to the CrossFit Games, I'm not as harsh. To John's disappointment, I'm going to go basically right in the middle of Bill and JR, and I'm sitting at like a 1-3 is where I'm going to sit. But yeah, that's where I'm at. I think, look, it did its job. It wasn't bad. I think it could have been better in my belief because I don't know what they were limited to as far as programming to, which is an also fair point to make. I think this could have been better very easily and they missed that opportunity, which is why I'm not going any higher than a 1-5. So that's it. JR, John, Bill. Apologize to your class for us. I know you guys are late, but that'll do it for us. Semifinals for real. Oh, not for real. Oh, sorry, Masters athletes. In person. That's what I meant. In person. In person, it's real. In person, it's real. Coming up in a couple days, I leave for France tomorrow, and I'll be a part of the broadcast there. So I'm super pumped to do it. I hope you guys watch. Be kind to me on Friday, please. I'm doing my best for you, all of you out there. I'm doing my best. Or shit on me for a whole day. That's fine. I'm used to it.
I'm only going to talk trash on Adrian.
All right, guys. Thanks for joining us. We hope you enjoyed the show. Good luck to those that qualified to the games. Congratulations to you all that qualified for the games. Video review is under review, I guess, at the moment. And semifinals is fast approaching. We'll probably, I know Savan's got a lot of stuff going on. Spin, what do you guys got the Wednesday show? At per usual, John?
Yes, sir. Yeah, we're going to preview Europe, talk all through Heat 1 and all the props that are going on there. I think the winner gets $2,500 for semis.
Ooh, but, that's right. That's right. Around the whiteboards tomorrow on Coffee Pods and Wads, where Will Brandsetter tries to take on his two challengers. And then JR, just shut up and scribble. Is that coming up on Thursday?
Oh, look at that shirt.
Oh, is that the shirt? Is that Luckett's shirt?
Yeah. Were y'all able to see it?
Yeah.
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 Okay. That's good.
Yeah. Shut up and scribble 1:30 Eastern every week, Thursday. We're going to see where the tensions are at for Taylor about a week out from competition, or 2 weeks out from competition. And the topic, though, Thursday is how to screw up programming a competition.
Ooh, I like that. And the answer is really easy.
Dave Castro as a guest?
Wait, no, hold on. Whoa, you got to go like this.
Whoa.
Are you going to have CrossFit come in on that? No. Oh, what? Did anyone say anything?
What is that? What? Did I get earmuffed? I don't know. I wasn't even looking at the screen. I was like reading comments. Did you earmuff me?
Yeah, totally.
All right. Before we get in any more trouble, guys. Yeah. See you, Bill. Bye, Bill. Bye, guys. Thanks, John. Thanks, Yar. Thank you guys for rolling with us.